listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl, live in Berea, in for Nathan Zagura. With me here in the Dog Bowl, Andrew Gribble, and we discuss last night's game. And I want to dive into more situations that arise and frustrations that arise in my eyes. And we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, all show long as we dive into this. And the one thing that frustrates to me, and it seems, and this is all series long, where Golden State has wide open opportunity after layup, after dunk, to either come back, you know, when the Cavs get ahead on a run, and or push a lead throughout the entire series. And it seems like because we're playing backyard basketball, we have to work so hard for a shot, you know. And how great was it to see, I think early in the fourth quarter or maybe late third quarter, when we finally moved the ball around perimeter and got that wide open jumper that like Jeff Van Gundy raved about. So the Warriors throw the ball at the hoop or get dunks and the ball goes in. And we have to work so hard with our offense through LeBron. And it's just so frustrating to me. I mean, am I correct in saying this?
No, you're right. I think it's a combination of things. I think one, first you give credit where it's due, and that the Warriors were the best defensive team in the NBA throughout the entire season. And I think they play good defense, and now that it's the playoffs, they're definitely playing hard on every single possession. So for the Cavs role players, it's just harder for them to get an open look. And I think the second thing they're doing is Iguodala is playing such good defense on LeBron where they don't have to overcompensate on LeBron and double him at all times. So then they're not letting these other guys get open. And I think that there's also, you factor in Shumpert, Smith, Dellavedova, they're not shooting all that well, so they lack the confidence that you might have. And I think with a guy like James Jones, not maybe the most likely to create his own shot, he's got to have it kind of created for him. He's pretty good when that happens too, but the Warriors are so young and fresh defensively, they're rotating guys in that, you know, these guys just aren't getting the open looks. So I think that and then you factor in as well, the Cavs are strategically wearing the shot clock down. So when you kind of get it down to that 8 seconds or less time in the shot clock, your margin of error gets pretty thin. You're just, the odds of you getting a wide open look just aren't as good when the time is kind of bearing down on you.
What about the Mozgov factor? We saw him in game four, career high, playoffs, no playoffs, 28 points. I think he played 36 minutes. So he had a significant role in what kept us in the game. And we facilitated our offense through him, even, you know, because LeBron only went for 20 points. And last night starts the game, but then plays just a matter of minutes. I think in deep in the third quarter, 5 minutes. Then finally, Jeff Van Gundy talks about it. Then David Blatt follows suit and inserts him into a lineup. Are you in favor of Mozgov sitting to be able to play small ball? Because I don't think we necessarily have the talent. I know Kyrie, Kevin Love, Tristan, LeBron, J.R. Smith, Shumpert, that to me is small ball.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I think the plan going into the game was to play Mozgov a lot more, but the Warriors' adjustment on defense early in the game, they were doubling him. And I think he did not handle it well, that those first few minutes, a few turnovers, the offense was just totally out of whack. And it was just an awful start. And I just don't know if Mozgov is there yet to know what to do to handle double teams, because I don't know if he's been double teamed all that much throughout his career.
Sure,
so I just think that the offense was just all out of sorts. And then once they got that smaller lineup in, you know, I think there's some revisionist history. This small ball lineup was doing pretty well for second and third quarters. And the Cavs were in the game up until 4 minutes left, primarily with what that lineup was. And I think you look back at game four, you know, yes, the Mozgov was great in game four offensively, pretty much all the Cavs had. But at the same time, that was also the game where the Warriors' offense was just clicking on all cylinders. And part of that had to do with Mozgov being on defense and really not having anyone to guard. You know, he's getting spread on the perimeter. He's not handling the pick and roll very well. He was still, I think, -5 in that game. So it's just, you know, it's a pick your poison kind of thing. And it's just another example of the adversity the Cavs are under right now with their limited options.
Sure. And I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning, driving my son down to the Browns youth camp down to First Energy Stadium. And they read this obnoxious tweet by someone from the West Coast. I don't think it was necessarily in the Bay Area, about how Andre Iguodala if the Golden State Warriors win this series, should be MVP. And I just rolled my eyes back in my head, you know, let out the scoff of how stupid someone is to say that Andre Iguodala, who's been done a good job on LeBron at times, but it's been by committee, and Steph Curry has said that after every game. We are all doing a good job trying to contain him and force him to work, and you know, hopefully he's gassed out, which it seems like he's been in the fourth quarter at certain times. But how absurd is it for someone to say Andre Iguodala, who came off the bench in game four and played 36 minutes and played 39 minutes last night as a starter, should be the MVP of the series?
I would say he's been maybe the most – they're getting a lot out of him. You can tell he's like – this is his veteran savvy kind of coming through. He's rising to the occasion. He's playing great defense. And he's arguably been their most consistent player. But I think like – the I think Curry, if we're going to have to give it to a Golden State player for the series, I would think it's going to be Curry. Even though he had a pretty bad game two, wasn't great in game three until the fourth quarter, you're probably going to give it to him because he had a great performance in a pivotal game five. And also just his presence has kind of forced the Cavs to change how they defend. And they've had to – he's the number one guy. Clearly they're focusing kind of their resources, how they defend him and things like that. And I think someone made a remark earlier in this series is that the Cavs were guarding Curry as if he was the player with a bad supporting cast, and Golden State was guarding LeBron as if he was the guy who was surrounded by good resources. And I think that that was pretty true with what happened. But I would think I give my vote to LeBron right now. I think if it goes only six games, I don't think LeBron gets that award. But I think if it goes seven games and the Cavs lose, I still think LeBron has a good chance of winning
that
MVP.
You think LeBron James can win the MVP of the series and not be the on the winning team?
I think so. I think
has that ever happened before?
It happened once, like 47 years ago. Okay. It was Jerry West won it in a best of seven series against the Celtics. But I just think if it goes seven games and Curry doesn't have another performance like he did last night, then I think it's a realistic possibility. Because now this is a media voted award, I believe. The fact that we're talking about it nationally here in Cleveland is something that it's now getting in the heads of the people who are going
to
be casting those votes. So, but if it only goes six games, it's probably going to go to Curry or someone else in Golden State.
Another Ohio Business Machine hot topic that I want to pose this question to you, Andrew, and then I'll answer thereafter is, do you believe that the Cleveland Cavaliers can come back and win this series? And then, of course, why can they, and why would they not be able to?
Well, I think they
realistically
can. I think they can, because I think they have as good a shot as any tomorrow night. I know people are worried about the fatigue, the rest, and I think J.R. Smith said this, and I kind of mostly agree with him. The reason the Cavs lost last night, I don't think comes down to fatigue. I think they clearly their performance dropped off in the fourth quarter, but that was happening throughout this entire series, even in game one, when they were as fresh as can be. And, you know, they rallied, even though they won on a Sunday last week, they came back to Cleveland on a Tuesday, rode the emotion of the crowd and played a great game in game three and held on for the victory. So I think if they can win, obviously they have to win game six, but they can win. And then I think if you square the series again, it's an all bets are off type situation for game seven. I don't think the Cavs have not seemed intimidated by the Oracle. And then you have the best player in the world on the floor for Game 7. I think the Warriors' offense has arguably been worse at home, not just in this series, but throughout the playoffs. So I feel pretty good if the Cavs can win Tuesday and go back to Golden State on Friday. Or the 2 days are off of a rest again. I feel good. You just have to kind of give everything you have in this Game 6 and have an all-time great performance from not just a LeBron, but at least a couple members of the supporting
cast. That's exactly my point, is you have to play as if there is no tomorrow, because if you lose it, there is no tomorrow. So I think it's got to be all in from LeBron and his supporting cast to have hopes of gaining that rest and have a realistic opportunity to go back out west and win Game 7 and win the NBA championship. You know who else I really think has to go all in? Is, and not saying he hasn't been this at this point, but is David Blatt. I think he's got to see different lineups of what Golden State's put out there, but also too what we've put out there and how's it's matched up. It almost seems to me that Steve Kerr has been the chess master. You know, he's the one making his aggressive move first. You know, going small, and we're in a very reactive state. And now that they've had, you know, two games where they've gone small, we've gone small with them, and what lineup works best for us, and that's those are the guys that, like, right now need to know they're going to play a significant amount of minutes. And as you said, go all in for one last, you know, one last ditch effort in game six here in front of your fans. The energy is going to be insane. It's going to be a hard ticket to get. So do I believe that we can come back and win? I absolutely do. And as I said, we need to make them work harder on the offensive end. Too many times and I know a lot of it is because Steph Curry is running free. He's out there, you know, with the basketball, and we're going over picks, we're going under picks, we're switching picks, we're showing picks, we're recovering them. It's just very difficult to defend on Steph Curry, which leaves guys, you know, walking to the bat. I mean, David Lee, Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green. It's like all of them had at least two baskets each that came off a layup or a dunk. So to negate some of those, I think the one other thing that I thought could have had a much more offensive impact was Tristan Thompson. Too many times, and I mean, he played good yesterday.
Yeah.
He played very good. Very good on the offensive boards. But and I've grown a lot of respect in Jeff Van Gundy and him as an analyst and as a coach, just through him calling all these finals games, because he makes you aware of all those basketball intricacies that you as a fan sometimes overlook because you're always following the ball. But multiple times he'd get the ball in the post, either posting up or of an offensive rebound or a tip back, and he's just always looking, like pumping it, and you know, I'm actually shot faking in the radio studio because he just shot fake, pivot. And I just want him to just go up like a dominant force and try to dunk the basketball, get fouled, you can get an and one, you know, but also too, if there's an opportunity to kick it out, but they're just converging on him, and we ended up with turnovers or a missed basket, and it was just extremely frustrating for me. It's just like, I just want him to be decisive and go up and make a move, you know, similar to the way Mozgov did.
Maybe it's because the Warriors have been playing with this kind of lineup for much more throughout the season, and this is really, I think someone mentioned that a couple of the Cavs lineups last night, it was the first time that they'd ever used that combination of five on the floor. But I'm starting to think that if you're going to go with Tristan Thompson and no other bigs on the floor, you just need better rebounding from the other four guys on the floor, because there was a lot of situations yesterday, kind of momentum shifting moments where there was a Warriors offensive rebound.
And you knew that falls on. Sorry to interrupt, yeah. But you knew who that falls on? Two times it was LeBron James.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes had the one rebound tip back, and the other one he tipped the ball, I think, to either Draymond Green or it was Iguodala right there in the center. He ended up getting fouled and going the free throw line. So two times LeBron on the backside was lazy, you know, with a little bit of an abstract rebound. Harrison Barnes made a play on that.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where it's like LeBron's playing so many minutes where it's like he's got to find – he doesn't only have to find rest portions on the game where he's on the bench, but he has to find, like, moments on the floor where he's not doing as much. I think there was the announcers last night were speculating that he was maybe not going to the basket as much in the third quarter just to save it for the fourth quarter, which looked kind of apparent with the way the quarter started.
Right.
But then it just got tougher and tougher. And you know, it was at the stage where you realize early in the fourth quarter, I know a lot of people are talking about officiating today, but I don't know if officiating won or lost the game, but he's just not getting calls around the basket, no matter how physical he goes. And I think there's a few layups yesterday when he drove to the hoop that he makes on most days, but they were misses at pivotal points when the Warriors just kind of couldn't be stopped. And then they kind of, at those last few minutes, Curry and everyone just kind of got in that NBA Jam on fire mode. And that's when that's where you look at this team. You're like, yeah, that's why they won 67 games this year. They get in spurts like that. So I think it's going to take in game six, it's going to take a great Cavs effort and just kind of preventing those kind of moments from happening, which for a large part they did through the first three games.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a timeout. George, Joe, and Jonah, we're going to come back to you. We're going to take your calls 216-578-0850. We're talking Cavs. Do you believe they can come back and win this series? If so, why or why not? And then talk a little bit MVP. If, as Andrew said, if they do go to seven games, can LeBron win this MVP and not win the series? Also, big news here in Berea, Tashaun Gibson, late Friday, signed his tender. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, live in Berea here in the Dog Pole on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.